Good morning. Welcome this morning to our services at Covenant Church of Thomaston. We're so happy that you're here with us, whether you're online seeing us or just listening to us. And we're so happy for those who, that are here in the sanctuary, in the gathering room, and the, here that are spread out worshiping with us today. So we're very excited to have you all with us. Today, this whole weekend is a very special weekend. You know, tomorrow we are going to celebrate Memorial Day, a very special time for us to reflect on everything that our servicemen and women have done for us, now serving and in our past. So I want to encourage you to take a few moments this weekend and quietly say a prayer for them. Thank the Lord for their service. It's because of them that we are here able to enjoy our freedoms. And thank the Lord even for their families because they sacrificed their loved ones to give us freedoms. So it's an important time. And for all of our church family members who are serving right now, thank you. We love you. We appreciate your service. We pray for you. And thank you so much. Know that you are in our hearts in prayers. So with that, I want to have us all join together as we worship the Lord together.
Together in our call to worship, you'll find that number 988. And the hymn after that, you're going to recognize the tune, maybe not the words, it's the original words to "How Great Thou Art." So if you respond, "I will sing to the Lord, for the Lord has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider have been thrown into the sea. You are my God. I will praise you, the God of my people. I exalt you.
Who among gods, O Lord, is like you? Who is like you, majestic in holiness?
Who among the gods, O Lord, is like you, awesome in splendor, doing wonders?
With unfailing love, you led the people to your redeemed.
You brought them in, planted them on your mountain, the place, O Lord, you choose for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, your hands established.
You, Lord, will reign forever and ever.
Would you pray with me? Almighty God, our Abba Father, you are our rescuer. You are the one who provides for every need we have exactly when we need. You are the one who controls the universe with just one word. You are the one we praise and adore, even in the midst of our heavy hearts. You are there. You are not absent, and you have not left us, and you never will. You are our strong tower, our shield, the one who hides us in your mighty wings. Let our praises bring you delight as we come together as one united church. Let our praises ring loud throughout the whole earth, so that all peoples in all nations will know what a mighty, wonderful, powerful, and loving God we serve. All of our praises coming together wherever we may be in one accord as the true body of Christ. Turning our eyes upon you and praising you with every breath you have given us. Let us join together in praising you in the prayer that our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Our readings this morning from John 17, verses 1 through 11. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given to me is from you. For the words that you have given to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me before they are yours, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name, that you have given me, so that they may be as one as we are one. Our second reading is the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 through 14. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing up toward heaven, and suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered into the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
our prayers of the church time. Begin praying through Psalm 11. It's a short psalm. It was my psalm for this morning. Let us pray. In the Lord we take refuge. How then can some say to us, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows, they set their arrows against the strings, to shoot from the shadows of the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examining them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. On the wicked, he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Could this all happen? The outpouring of your Spirit, a refreshing? Could it be at Pentecost 2020 in 7 days, Almighty God? Many believe so around the world that a refreshing of the Holy Spirit like never before will be poured out on this land, this world. God, you are able. So we wait. We wait in this time. Come, Holy Spirit, come. This Memorial weekend, we do think of the Great War, other wars. Oh God, there were incredible victories, and incredible losses, all for our freedom as a nation. So many gave their life for the freedom. We do thank you for all who serve so faithfully in their duties. And we pray for those who have served as well and served so faithfully, the men and the women. And Heavenly Father, the greatest representation of this kind of service, this kind of ultimate sacrifice, if we think of it spiritually and in the flesh as well, it was the gift of your Son. Jesus, he gave himself wholly, his body broken, his blood poured out for us, for the world, because of your great love. He went willingly. And for freedom, he has set us free. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, in this shutdown mode, this shelter in place, it reminds us biblically of your children long ago. They knew this well. When there were plagues and death was all around, they shared a first Passover in their own homes in Egypt. And then they left Egypt in haste. You brought them out of bondage and slavery with your outstretched arm, your strong arm. The deadly pestilence did not overtake them or come near because of the blood of the sacrificial lamb. That was so long ago. Never has Passover been shared since with a shelter in place mandate by the government. Until this year, 2020, 43 days ago. Yes, many are discerning. This is the time, your time, O God, but only you know. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. For we have been shaken, Lord. Much has been shaken loose from us, and that's probably a real good thing. Send your searchlight upon our hearts, our lives. We know we have sinned. We know, I certainly know, I've been self-absorbed. Lord, we worship false gods, idols. Forgive us our sins. We confess. We confess them. We turn from our wickedness. We are sorry. We plead for your mercy today. On behalf of the world, this country, on behalf of your church, we plead for your mercy today, O Lord. We don't know what else to do. We turn to you. But we do so in reverence and awe and wonder, with thankful hearts for your goodness, your provision. We really have all we need. Thank you for family, friends, for your church, Lord Jesus. Be with the most vulnerable today. Some of our loved ones, friends, church family, community, those serving on the front lines of this different kind of a war. Keep them safe. Bless Israel. We pray for peace in Jerusalem. We pray for the coming together of Jew and Gentile, all in Jesus' name. Could it be the time, Almighty God? We also pray for those who are grieving many losses of life, special events, celebrations, achievements. Some of these may seem small in the spectrum of all that's going on, but very special things and losses for so many. Even for Camp Squano, you know, all the kids, youth. Be with all who might be frightened in this day and this time. We can trust in you. Tell us to do not be afraid. We pray for wisdom for our president, for the leaders of our country, for state and local leaders. We pray for your guidance. Only you know. Knowing that this threat will be gone, we pray it would diminish and be tossed in the abyss along with the evil one right now in Jesus' name. And now bless us indeed, O God. Enlarge our territory, expand our influence for you, that millions would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. It's only with your hand to be with us and keep us, yes, from the evil one. And may we never be of any kind of harm to anyone. We love you. We welcome a divine visitation. You tell us to be still and know that I am God. Well, we've got everything all videoed now. If you're watching this, you know it. And I'm not sure how it's going, but hopefully it's working out. But it's not about us. It's about the Lord. Well, just before our reading in John 17, there's a remarkable verse, John 16:32. Jesus told his followers, remember, it's in the upper room, it's his final discourse in John, so it's Passover. He tells them, an hour is forthcoming and already has come for you to be scattered to your own home. I thought, wow. There have been a lot of times like that. People scattered to their own homes. We know this is about Jesus, his rest, crucifixion, his death. But then he says, you know, 40 some days later, you can do the math on that. I think it's 43. It's after the resurrection. Jesus gathered his disciples together. He had shown himself on some occasions in Acts 1:4. He commanded them. He said, do not leave Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem. They maybe still wanted to scatter. But wait for what the Father promised. A baptism with or in the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now, he said. It was 10 days later, Pentecost. in that scattering to homes and various locations of the faithful believers in Jesus Christ, it took place a generation later. John's church, he was exiled to an island of Patmos. You will not speak in this name. You will not write in the name of Jesus. You will not do anything. And it didn't stop him on an island. But there was great persecution and the Christians were scattered. To be scattered and fearful is one thing. But to be vigilant and sacrificial, the kind of sacrifice that Jesus made, and to be productive and joy-filled and always praying glorifies God. No matter what is going on, no matter if there's a shutdown or a change or a reset, and for us, yes, there's an enemy that creates a lot of fear and chaos, and the evil one and all his cohorts have scattered the church of Jesus Christ, its members, each to their own homes. It's amazing. Our own governor said, I never shut down the churches, the faith communities, but we all scattered. And rightly so. You know, we needed to for a time. About 10, 11 weeks now. Stay safe, stay home, stay masked, stay apart. Don't be getting together. And we know that there are reasons for that. There are vulnerable populations. But significant damage has already been done financially, emotionally. You know, emotionally and mentally. I mean, don't you just have some of those waves? We know that God is able and He's helping us, but there are times, right? It's okay to be honest and say that. But socially as well, along with our grieving the loss of lives, so many. The loss of so much in our life. And yet knowing that some that's been shaken loose, you know, the things, oh, we can't do this or that anymore, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe there's some things we should never go back to in society. But that's another day, another sermon. And all this being said, Jesus has not stopped gathering His faithful. It's happening everywhere. There's no shutdown of His church in the big picture. And the gates of hell shall not ever prevail against the church. Even though many have tuned out God, turned away from Him, that's the sinful pattern of the world, but God still loves the world. We can tune Him out, we can turn away from Him, we can run from Him, but He still pursues us in His love. Jesus gathers many each day in homes, online, Zoom, FaceTime, WhatsApp, phone conferences. It's amazing to hear about all that's going on. The global prayer that's happening for 24/7 for, you know, we're day 3 of 10 days of prayer waiting for Pentecost. The word of the Lord is going out to more people than ever before. Despite the enemy's plans. Weekly prayer meetings. Yes, some are meeting in person, social distancing, but we need to get together to pray. Small groups recording Sunday mornings like this. And it's good to have more here. Than just the recording team, and thankful for the recording team, volunteers, music ministry, everybody, and the pastors. I have a question for you that God has been asking me. What are you waiting for in this time? What are you waiting for during this time? And let us all take the initiative and ask God every day, what is it, Lord? Or make it personal about Pentecost. What is it, Holy Spirit, that you want to do in and through my life today? You know, He will give promptings and He will lead and guide. It happens every day. Maybe it's happening for you. That little nudge, that little, oh, yeah, I should be about this or that. Why don't we take the initiative? God has allowed us to be scattered and for His good purposes, for our own life. You know, it's time for a reset, Pastor Tim, or you put your name in there, for our homes, you know, our family life. What is God doing in our families, our church life? Church will never be the same again. We're being shaken to the core, and there's a whole reset. You know, reset is a military term that means the little groups gathering. So they got to gather back together. It's almost like the ministries of a church gather back together and reorganize and reset for the good product, the fruit that's going to come from that. Wartime term. But God is speaking. Just ask Him. What are you waiting for? Well, the Lord is waiting for His church. The Lord is waiting for us to reflect His glory. What would that look like? Pure and holy, united, sacrificial in love. To reflect the glory of God. What does that look like? No greater love than one who would lay down their life for another. So regarding this, in the portion of the high priestly prayer that Pastor Ann read in John 17, you know, we just read 11 verses, but we learn a great deal about this. What does it mean to glorify God? In the passage. And again, this prayer occurs just prior to His arrest. You know, this is the last thing He does before He's arrested, going out to Gethsemane and praying, and then arrested early on that day that we call Good Friday. Just before that, He prays for Himself, He prays for His disciples, He prays for those who will believe because of the disciples. We're included in the prayer. We see in our passage what is important to Jesus, what is important for His church. You know, the church must reflect God's glory as Jesus did. Verses 1 and 5 reflect the hour had come for Jesus to return to the Father. You know, He told them, where I'm going, you cannot come. You know, one day I'll come and take you to be where I am. But He's going to the Father to receive the glory He had before He was sent. And part of this is the lifting up of Jesus through His death and resurrection, then His ascension. So verse 1, the hour has come, Father, glorify Your Son. We know that Jesus goes willingly, but glorify Your Son. A big part of that is the body of Jesus being broken, His blood poured out. It's time, Father, glorify Your Son. And He went willingly. Somebody's birthday today. Glorify Me now, verse 5, with the glory I had before with You. And then verse 4 in the middle there, Jesus said, I glorified You on earth, accomplishing everything You gave Me to do. Complete obedience. I accomplished everything. Wouldn't that be great to say, I accomplished everything? You know, all the list that Lisa gave me to do, all the honey-do list, I got it all done. Oh, I forgot something. But for the Lord, to glorify God, the church needs to be about the business of accomplishing what we've been given to do. And maybe God is shaking us loose, maybe just me. Maybe it's just me. You know, all the things left undone right outside these doors. There are needs close by. We can't help everybody, but we can help a few. I don't know. God's just shaking us loose. He's shaking me anyway. And I'm thankful for that. So the hour is here. It's our time. And the main reason Jesus came, we know what the work of Christ was about, right? About eternal life, about salvation. That many would come to faith. You know, many rejected him, but many came to faith and changed the world. It's time to do it again. But he came to offer eternal life to anyone who would receive it. Verse 3 says, Jesus defines eternal life in verse 3, that all may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom God sent. The church must have a mission as the number one priority, to know God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that knowing is more than just intellectual assent. This word keeps coming up. It's the character of God. It's everything He's about. It's the unconditional love. But that needs to be our number one mission. Bearing witness to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Inviting seekers to believe, and many will. There'll be many coming to faith in these days, and it may be happening sooner than we could possibly ever believe. A people you would never imagine are going to be in the Lord's family. We got to be careful of who we're calling evil, and who we think would never come to faith. We will be so surprised. It's amazing what God is going to do. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. And remember, it's in how He gave Him. We got to see that image. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There was a gentleman who used to come to this church once in a while. He would said he could see, and he would see things. He would see visions, and that's a good thing. He would see a lamb that looked sacrificed up on this altar. And maybe I'm not as spiritual as him, but I don't see that right now. But you know what I'm saying? The world needs to see that. For God so loved the world. Just know how He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. And God has shown His love for us, sending His Son to the cross, sending Jesus to us. God always was and is in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. You know, how does the church glorify God? Well, we have to be confident. Verses 6 through 8, the church must exhibit a confidence in this knowledge of God, as Jesus did. We need to be taught. We need to know the Word. We need to be confident. In verses 6 and 8, Jesus said, I manifested your name. You know, I told them everything about you. I showed it in my life. I shared everything. And they have kept your word. They came to know that everything given to Jesus, it came from God. And Jesus said, I gave them your word. They received it. They understood it. It took a while. It takes us a while. You know, everybody's on a learning curve. They didn't get it. And I think it's true today. It's always about me, me, me. You know, or who's the greatest? Jesus kept, no. Who's willing to die? Who's willing to get on the front line and die? And I mean mainly, but we're in a new day and age, mainly dying to self, but let's be the church that runs to the front lines of this epidemic. I didn't write that down. So, Lord, okay, I'll go. Maybe we're going back to Guatemala sooner than we think, Jane Kathy. It's great to have you here today. And they understood it, that I came from God and was sent by God. You know, this confidence means that the church has the truth about God, about salvation, about sin, about Jesus, Lord of all. It's not a set of opinions. Like, what's your opinion about salvation, church? What's your opinion about Jesus? No, this is the truth. It's the truth of God's Word. It's not a set of opinions, and the world should sense the strength of our conviction. But with humility and love, you know, we're not moving from the truth. We can hear other people's stories, but no. This is what I believe, I know in my heart of hearts. And nothing will ever change that. How's your conviction about the truth of Scripture, about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and rose again to bring many of the world to belief and faith? So there's a shift now in verse 9. Jesus has really been praying about, you know, himself, how he brought glory to God, you know, manifesting it to those that were given to him. And now he says in verse 9, I ask on their behalf now. Keep them in your name, or protect them in your name, the name you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. That's the unity. And all throughout the prayer, if you keep reading on, unity is key. Unity in the early church. We saw that in Acts 1. As they did remain in Jerusalem. Unity is a must for Christ's church to glorify God, for our mission, our teaching, our fellowship, and worship. Verse 21, that they may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, that the world may know that you have sent me. And that knowing, the world has to see it. Who's dying to self and joining together in Christ's mission? Where is that happening? I see this kind of love in many of you, many who serve behind the scenes here in this church, just pouring out. They don't want to be noticed. They just want Jesus to be noticed, that the world may know that you've sent me. And how about verse 23? We maybe need a whole sermon on this. Maybe there's one coming. But perfected in unity, that the world may know that you love me and you have sent me. Could it be that the Lord is perfecting us in unity now in this shaking, in the shutdown, where we don't know what to do other than trust God and God alone and to lean on brothers and sisters in Christ? Sometimes I say to some of my family, how's your pandemic going? You know, and that's kind of tongue-in-cheek because we've kind of all been in this. It's serious. But how about, how's that perfecting going? Is God doing something? And unity is not just about us, it's about us. You know, it's about us here and with those out there. It's about Christ Church, capital C. I think it's probably about being in a refiner's fire. So how do we accomplish this? I think we're getting there. Reflecting God's glory in our mission and bearing witness and confident in the knowledge of God and His will and perfected in unity. Can we sign up for a class or just, you know, get a certificate and, you know, or pay more money? You know, can we earn it? How do we do this? For Jesus, his spirituality was visible. He said in verse 6 again, I manifested your name. You know, it was so evident that he was God. God was part of him. That the Lord was so, God was so present in him that it changed the world. It drew so many to him. Even though many rejected him, he revealed the presence of God through worship, through his life and of prayer and devotion and love. It left an indelible mark on the world. People who witnessed it were changed. Yes, some got angry and violent, but I think that's just kind of like digging the heels in. Because God is so close. You know, there's so much polarization in our world, and there's so much fighting and you know, backbiting that, you know, I think we're so close. It can't get any worse. And what's the quote? It's darkest just before dawn. We wait. We wait. Something new. But I manifested your name, and many came to faith. People were changed. But this is the essence of Jesus' vision. How he glorified God and how the church is to glorify God. His prayer for the church is that. A community that invites people to touch the glory of God. To see the glory of God. You know, if the church is a refining fire, wow, let's watch that church burn. Look how they're burning for God, for Christ, and they're changed. Inviting them to be changed by the glory of God and to bear it to the world. Discipleship is teaching the young and the old to bear the glory of God to the world. Behold the Lamb of God. That's the way. Sacrificial love. People are searching for that reality right now. They're seeking for places where God seems real and present. There's an authenticity. The true Church of Christ offers the world a priceless gift, right? Something it is seeking desperately. Excuse me. If we could be one with Christ, one with one another, the growth of the church and of disciples would be exponential. But I believe, and many believe, that God is going to really help boost all that in the days ahead. Something very powerful. But the church, the growth of the church is inevitable. Laying down our lives in sacrificial love. How do we do that? Again, can you get a certificate? Can we pay enough money to not to have to do that? Or, I've already done that. Been there, done that. Well, we see the prayer of Jesus answered in part, the prayer from John 17, and go to Acts 1:4. We see it being answered in part. The disciples, the 11, that was growing. There were many women that were with them. They stayed. They followed the commandment to wait and pray. Who would wait and pray for 10 days straight? I'm sure they did other things. But they were continually devoted to prayer. They had one mind. You say, no, I've got to go, you know, do this or that. No, we're staying together to pray. Verse 14. And why is that? Because there was a promise. God was about to unleash the most powerful force in all the earth. A divine visitation. They would receive power to bear witness after Jesus ascended to heaven. If we're going to manifest the glory of God, we need the power of God. The dunamis power. To do even greater things than Jesus. Wow, greater things than Jesus. That's what he said we would do. That's what he said they would do and we would do, because the Spirit is upon all flesh. It was just mainly upon Jesus, although he gave the authority to go out for a time, the disciples. But once Pentecost hit, boom, there was an explosion. And they changed the world. God changed the world through them. So we need the power of God. And the disciples prayed over those next 10 days. And I guess we're going to have to wait to read the scripture for next Sunday and Pastor Liz preaching. I think it's a good outcome. We know it is. And we want a refreshing of that. But right now there's prayer going on 24/7. I don't know if any of you have gone on that link. I sent something to Ann and a few others, and then Ann sent it to Antoinette, and Antoinette sent it out to the... So if you have that email, just go up to the top one, my email, and there's a link that you can, if you have Zoom, you can get right on. There's prayer all over the world. I just can't wait to open it up each morning and to get on there. Like, a little after 5, I'm getting up earlier, and it's, I don't know if it's the birds or the squirrels or the, you know, but it's a little nudge. Time to get up, Tim. It's so powerful. What are we waiting for? Join with others. Even our covenant affirmation, one of our covenant affirmations is a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit. 2 years ago, we added something else. You know, we have a conscious dependence upon the Holy Spirit, who is the blazing center of our mission. I love that. I think God went before our president, John Weinrich, the blazing center. You know, we're not the center. The Holy Spirit is the blazing center of our mission. So we strive for that to come true in this season of shutdown. That we would be overcome with the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do what God wants us to do. The dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. So why not take the initiative right now and pray for a fresh outpouring? God cares about each and every one of us individually and certainly as a body of Christ and part of a larger body of Christ. Why not ask, what is it you want me to do, but also for us as a church? What is it you want us to be about? Let us lay ourselves on the altar as a living sacrifice, just symbolically. There is an army rising up. Maybe the war has just begun. We don't know. But we pray that the glory of God will be revealed even through us. A unity of love poured out through Christ's church. Gather with believers as you can. Join in conversation, teaching, and prayer, listening. Come to worship. Come next Sunday, you're invited. If we get over 50 in here, there's, you know, people that can spread out throughout the church. We will maintain those guidelines. I know this is going on a little bit. One last little illustration. For almost the last 2 years, Maya and the girls, well, it was just Elsie was at the house, our house, for dinner. It would come, you know, we shared that time together and some brokenness in her family and marriage. And so we took care of one another, you know. And so the girls were there. And then when Maya was pregnant with Addie, there again. And what I would do is go outside and walk them to the car. It was usually dark. And I've shared a little bit of this before. We look for the moon. And Elsie and I had a little, you know, we look for the moon and the stars. And you're always like, wow, wow. It's just powerful. And as they drove off, I found myself praying some scripture at times. And I, you know, wanting to pray for them for peace, protection. And I would pray, I would lift my hands to the heavens that God created. And I would just pray, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth, just again and again. And just look around and just pray peace for Maya and knowing that all would be well. And going on the Zoom global upper room prayer, I keep hearing that. And we're praying for God's glory to be poured out all over the earth. That we might be able to be vessels and pour out that love and God's glory to a world that needs it. So, God is good. Let us keep responding and finish our worship time. Amen.
You join with me in an affirmation of faith. This is coming from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and verses 9 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life that was the light of all the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through Him. Yet the world did not know Him. He came to what was His own, and His own people did not accept Him. But to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen the glory, and glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
I invite you to remain standing, and let's praise God with through the doxology as we give our gifts. And if you want to bring an offering up, you can. Thank you for all at home that are giving online. But let us sing the doxology, giving thanks and praise to God who breaks every chain.
Praise God. God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen.